Do you want us to keep producing the best VCU men's basketball podcast out there? If so, there's a way you can help. If you enjoy this show, please consider donating to help us pay for the cost of making it available. You can do so by using the PayPal link in the description of the podcast or on social media sites where we post it. Even a small donation would help. Thanks in advance, and go Rams! Welcome to Rams Rewind, a podcast that looks back at all of the action from VCU men's basketball. After each game, our host George Templeton talks live on Facebook with Ram fans and gives his take on the team's performance. And now, here's George.
Welcome to Rams Rewind. Thank God they won that game because, my goodness, file that on one under another of VCU's trying to kill us all. Because it was a grind from the get-go, and that's not surprising playing Fordham, but once again, you're letting a team that's not the best offensive team in the world shoot the ball well early, make threes on you early with some questionable defensive breakdowns. You're missing foul shots in the game. Yeah, they had that problem in the first half. So even though VCU's shooting the ball well in the first half themselves, they're over 50%, 52.38, and they're 5 of 12, so they're one miss from being 50%. You're letting Fordham shoot 50%, and Fordham's 6 of 11 from 3, and you're down at halftime against a team that you were demonstrably better than at certain points. At 31-24, I thought this team was ready to get away, that they were ready to get away and maybe put this thing on ice. And it just didn't happen. And, these defensive mistakes and, getting caught in screens, it happened again and again and again. Kyle Rose getting loose. You don't rebound a missed free throw in a spot and you commit a foul and things like that. And it's infuriating. It was infuriating to listen to. And you're just sitting there going, I don't know. I don't know if this team's going to find their way out of it. And I had the worst feeling come over me. About 5 minutes to go in the game, I'm sitting there listening, and I just had the worst feeling come over me. I'm like, oh, my God, this game reminds me of? It reminds me of the VCU women against St. Louis last week because it was just the same kind of thing. They couldn't. In that game, they were spinning their wheels throughout for the most part. They briefly had what looked like a winning lead, and then they just kind of – I think they kind of relaxed a little bit. And they weren't able to find a way out. And 5:05 to go, and Abdu Sambilla hits two free throws to put them ahead. And you're not sure. And let's give VCU this before we continue with the kind of the negatives of this. They didn't make a field goal for the last 8:41. Christian Furman's little jumper is your last basket. And at that point, they were 15 of 25 from the foul line, which is ludicrous that would be the case, that they couldn't make that they were shooting that badly after having been so good the entire season. You just can't believe it. So they found a way to win shooting 12 of 14 down the stretch. And that's to their credit, and we're going to give some specific players some credit on that. But let's briefly, before we get back to getting on people, Toby LaWall tonight, 9 of 11 from the foul line, 13 points, tremendous work, I think defensively as well, inside. He kind of helped control things a little bit. Max Schulga doesn't miss a shot. And, his back is probably bothering him, and he's probably compromised on the defensive end. But when he's producing like that, granted he had to play 39 minutes, but he makes all four shots from the field, including two threes, all four free throws, 7 boards, 4 assists, and a block. I mean, that's a pretty good night. But I got to tell you, it is going to be hard to win And it's hard to justify these minutes that we see for Sean Bairstow and Joe Bamiso when they're producing what they're producing. Sean Bairstow at least had a good night at the foul line. He had five boards. But he's 2 for 8 from the field, 1 for 3 from three. And he's got 4 turnovers against 2 assists. And defensively, he was a liability out there. They were getting open shots off of him. They were abusing him on screens and getting what they wanted on him. And the same was true when Bamisil was in there. You know, Joe Bamisil had a couple threes, but he's 2 for 6 from the field. He was 2 for 7 from the foul line, which is just like, you got to be kidding me. What's going on, Joe? Because he's been such a good foul shooter. But having said that about both of them, let's also say this. Both of these guys have had an absolutely dirty night out there. They're struggling. They're not playing well. And you got to have something inside you to come up with foul shots that are needed when they are needed. And in the last minute of the game, Sean Bairstow gets fouled and makes 2 out of 2 to give them a 3-point lead. And then after Rose misses one in the lane, Joe Bamisil gets a rebound and gets fouled and makes 2 out of 2 to make it an unassailable lead. So that's, you know, that you do have to say that is that is some strong mental fortitude from those two guys having played pretty awful for most of the game, for them to come up with those foul shots at the end, especially Joe Bamisil had been 0 for 5. And Lord knows when I thought they might lose this game, I thought, oh God, I'm going to have to start with that almost. You know, a guy shooting almost 80% from the foul line, being 0 for 5, you just can't even believe it. But let's give him credit. Let's give them their props on that. They made some winning plays at the end. And look, you know, VCU, bad foul shooting all day, been 12 or 14 down the stretch is pretty darn good. And they had to have it because they didn't make anything from the field. Although, what was it? I think the last basket for – the last basket for doggone Fordham, I think, is Jameer Tripp cutting it to 1 with 6:26 left. I don't think they had a basket the last 6:26. So that is tough going. And let's also say that VCU really buckled down defensively in the second half. And let's remember, the first halves haven't been the problem defensively. It's been the second halves that have been the problem. Well, in this second half, they produced. Fordham is 7 for 23 from the field, you know, 30%, and ends up 3 for 14 from 3, so they only end up 9 of 25 after being red hot in the first. That may be the most encouraging thing out of this game, is that finally in half number 2, VCU's defense, instead of, you know, doing well for the first 20 minutes and then stinking it up the next 20, they did the reverse. Now, of course, they can't let Massachusetts shoot what they did in the first half tomorrow. We all know that. We know what Massachusetts did to them up in Amherst. They jumped them at the start, and VCU just never got to a place where you thought that they could come back. They made one small little run, and that was it. But let's remember that first game in 2015, they had was a grind and a struggle against Fordham 2, and they found a way to win, and they progressively got better. That's what you hope for. Also, it was just nice to see them have a really good stretch of defense because they haven't had many of those, and they had that at the end of the game, and they needed it. So that's good. But they have got to do – they have got to get out on these shooters tomorrow. Cross and Cohen were 4 for 4 combined from 3 and just cut them up to ribbons. They have got to fight and get around these screens that Massachusetts are going to set. And they can't let Diggins get loose either. They did a pretty decent job on him the last time. It was the other guys that hurt him. And we're going to have to see better rotations, especially on pick and roll. Because that's the thing. If they do a good job and they get out on these 3-point shooters and they stop that, well, you're gonna, you know, Massachusetts will be running those pick and roll plays with Cross and Cohen, both of them, both not and not just them, but other players using them as well, because they love to do that. So that is that is going to be the key tomorrow. But I mean, the biggest thing is just getting through. And, you know, after watching them find ways not to win these last three games, even when they played well, like they did at Dayton, it's just a good thing that they had to, they found a way to make the winning plays they needed to make in a game, because they haven't been doing it the last, you know, couple weeks. But I gotta say, these minutes, these rotations, of the minutes have got to be distributed better than this. It's a lot to ask. Shull gonna play 39 minutes with a bad back, and more to the point, Sean Bairstow and Joe Bamisil have to give you more if they're going to play as many minutes as that. I felt like Nelson could have helped them more today, and Bell certainly could have helped them defensively. And they only got 6 and 4 minutes respectively. And again, I think, you know, with Massachusetts, we saw some good things in that game from Billups and Rose Wheeler. So I think you got to think about that if you're Ryan Odom. You know, they need to use their they're going to need to use their depth in this game, because they got a pretty thorough physical examination, and I don't think it's a good idea to be having guys playing 30 some minutes tomorrow against Massachusetts, because, you know, they're going to be the fresher team. And what you kind of hope is, because of the fact that they didn't play this past weekend, maybe there's going to be a little bit of rust. I mean, they weren't that great against Fordham. They could have easily lost to Fordham. Kyle Rose had that open three right at the end. And if he'd have made it, then we wouldn't have even been playing today. Massachusetts would have been playing today. So, you know, it'll be interesting. I mean, they're going to be well-rested and have that advantage, but maybe they're going to be rusty too. And maybe if they're rusty early, VCU can jump them. It would be nice to see VCU jump them like they kind of jumped Dayton at the start, and then we'll see what happens from there. So, again, pretty short pod because I was working as I was listening to this. It was hard to listen to just because there were just so many frustrating moments, it felt like, from the guys. But let's also credit them. There were a lot of great efforts too. I thought Zeb defensively, you know, there was a couple of times he got caught, but I thought he did pretty well for the most part. And he had some big stops on Kyle Rose. And when he got on Richardson had trouble today. Richardson's 3 for 10, you know, and he's a pretty good player, and they did a nice job, the variety of guys on him. Jafet Medor, who's kind of one of their big scorers off the bench, 1 for 6. So they let him get loose like he's capable of doing. And, I mean, Fordham had 4 assists. That's the other amazing thing, is that Fordham nearly won this game with 4 stinking assists. Ay, ay, ay. It had to be hard to watch them all year playing like that. So you can't win 4 if you don't win the first one, and they won the first one. So maybe adjusting to the arena and having a game under their legs will help them tomorrow. For UMass, I am off work tomorrow, so there will be a live video in the good and the bad and the ugly, and we will record the podcast for you in podcast later as we do that, and it should be out later in the day. And let's get through this game against Massachusetts, get to that day off, and get to the next two-game mini-tournament on the weekend. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you for your support, as always. If you like what you hear, shoot us some dinero. There's a link to the PayPal in the description on all your podcast platforms. And we'll be talking to you again tomorrow. Have a good day, everybody.
To submit a question for George to answer in an upcoming episode, or to inquire about sponsorship opportunities for this podcast, please email ramsrewind@gmail.com. We'll be back after the next game, and thanks for listening to this episode of Rams Rewind.